My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode. Today, we are talking about using our summer to focus on ourselves, to heal, break all the cycles, and having a summer of healing. In today's episode, I'm going to give you a full plan for you to use the summer to focus on healing your relationships and focusing on what it is that you want, what you want to call in, and what you want to leave behind. So before I jump in, apologies for skipping the last couple of weeks of episodes. I have been really, really busy, and I was paying attention to my patterns when it comes to, like, the last couple of years, the flow of episodes, the flow of how often they drop, and whether or not they're weekly, whether or not I skip a couple of weeks, whether or not I need to take a break. This is the second summer that I'm noticing that I need a lot more time. Last summer, I was already in the middle of sabbatical. I decided to extend it because my son was moving from kindergarten to first grade. And I was like, time is getting short and I want to have more time with him and focus on him. So last summer, it was extended so that I could spend more time with him, which was really good and something that was really needed for both of us. It really helped with me with regulating my nervous system, getting me to a place where when I returned back in the fall, I was super excited. And I'm noticing that that's happening now as well. My son is now, he's in karate, he's in basketball, he is in soccer. We're about to start a coding program for him. He's about to start swimming lessons. Like, this summer is about to be crazy busy in addition to all the other projects, personal projects I'm working on by way of working on continuing to learn how to ground my nervous system and all those things. So this is a long way of saying that I'm actually going to be going on a summer sabbatical. And as I was thinking about that, I was like, I want to leave the women who listen to this podcast, who watch this channel, who are part of this community, with real actionable homework that you can use for the next 3 months, maybe a little bit longer if I need to extend it. I'm going to trust whatever is needed at the time. But I want to leave y'all with some things that you can do over the next 90 plus days to really take the methods and take the things that we work on here and go deeper with them. So that's what we're going to do today. Today is going to look like giving you an inventory of things to consider, things to explore, and next steps to take, depending on what you want to focus on. So this is actually going to be a two-part episode. This first part, we're going to focus on relationships. So those of you where your focus is, I want to heal, grow, break cycles in personal relationships. What are the steps that I can take, or what is it that I can focus on so that I'm not losing myself by way of focusing on this? We're going to talk about that. And then for those of you who are in the self-love, self-healing camp, and that is what's most important to you, we're going to talk about that, what you can do for those goals over the summer. And I'm going to give you a full plan. I'm going to give you next steps. I'm going to give you things to do in next week's episode. You can download notes for what I'm talking about today for free by going to blackgirlsheal.org/summer. You will get the list of questions and next steps for both this episode and the next episode. You'll also get access to our mailing list. So when I say I'm going sabbatical, I'm going dark on all places. I'm actually looking at ways to remove my social media apps or to limit access to them as well during the summer. So the only place I'm going to be at live is over email. So there will be some emails that are sent out to talk about different resources that are related to the things I'm going to share here. And I'll talk about that more at the end of the episode. But yeah, I'll be working with my team to publish content over social media that will still keep folks engaged and give y'all some tips here and there. But content related to this, the email list is the best way to stay informed. With the sabbatical as well, updates about the no contact book, which I'm still working on. That's part of the reason why I'm stepping back to make sure that I can focus fully on that, along with you know, mothering and all the other things. So people who pre-ordered the book, you will still get your updates and everything over email. And then whenever it is fully published, everyone on the email list will know first if I'm not back from sabbatical by then. So again, you can join by going to blackgirlskill.org/summer to get this and get all the other tips and everything that I'm going to share throughout the rest of the summer. Okay. So with that said, let's go ahead and jump on in. Okay. So when I was thinking about us going into this, I'm giving you the closest thing that I can to the courses that I teach and the things that I lead you through by way of helping you self-explore, self-process what's going on. And then, of course, finding resources along the way, whether or not the resource is connecting with the things that you're going to discover about yourself with your licensed therapist, if you have a licensed therapist and clinician that you're working with. Also, throughout today's episode, if I do have a program or extra resource related to that, I am going to share that as well. With me being gone on sabbatical, I also wanted to make sure that anyone who needed access to any resources was able to do so. So all of my programs, including my main program, the BJH Method, is on sale 50% off. I have marked everything down, every single thing from every level. So you can go ahead and take advantage of that for the summer as well by using the code SUMMER50. But looking at our relationships, I know that there is a variety of different relationship statuses of people who listen to this podcast and people who watch these videos. Whether or not you are currently in a committed relationship that's going well, whether or not you're currently in a relationship, committed or not, that is not going so well. And those of us who may want to be in relationships or want to be in relationships that no longer hurt us, betray us, leave us broken, and that it helps us find connection that actually fulfills us instead of leaving us like we have been depleted or drained or lacking. And that's what I want for all of us here. I want all of us to have love that heals, love that nurtures, love that grows, love that surprises us, love that we were told or that we thought might not have been possible. And then we look up and we're like, oh, wow, this is the greatest gift that I could have had. So for those of us where that is something that we want to obtain and what we want to make space for in our hearts, here's the next steps that I'm going to suggest for you. So go ahead and get out a journal. Or again, the notes for this is going to be in the worksheet that is in the freebie that you'll get when you sign up for the summer list. So the first thing that you're going to do is we're going to get grounded by taking inventory of where you are. Number one is taking inventory of where you are. So with all of these are all going to be written exercises. It is very, 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 very important that you write this out. It is very important for you to write it out because there is something about the clarity that you get where you have all the thoughts that you think are super clear and that you think you have a lot of insight on. And then you write it down on paper and you're like, wait, that's actually what I think. That's actually what I believe. And also as you're writing, emotions will come up, different thoughts will come up. And things that for those of us who want to avoid our emotions and avoid our thoughts or think like I've already gone to this place before, it doesn't make me feel good. It doesn't make me feel empowered. So I'd rather not do that. If that is how you have felt, writing this stuff down is actually what's going to help free you. It gets it out of your brain, out of your psyche, out of your spirit, out of your heart, onto that paper so that now it's tangible. Now you can literally have these thoughts and feelings. And if you want distance and space, you can literally make distance and space. You can say, all right, I'm done with that. Let me put this down over here and let me move on with the rest of the things that I have to do in my life. So when I say taking inventory of where you are, what is the current relationship status that you have? Are you in the relationship or partnership that you want? What has been the history of your relationships up until now? If you want to make a timeline of the relationships that you have had, you can write out, these are the things that this relationship gave me. These were the gifts and these were the lessons. These were the things that I had to grow in or the things that I learned as a result of being in this relationship. In addition to that question about taking inventory of where you are, a part B of that is to write out where is it that you want to go. So once you get out all the things that have been here in the past and all the things that have happened in the past, clearing the way so that now you're open. Now you're open to see what is it that I want my future to look like? What are the blessings that I want these next step relationships to give to me? What are the lessons, if there are any lessons that I want to learn, and it doesn't have to be from this person, from a negative experience, what are the lessons or skills that I want to learn to make this type of relationship possible? Do I need to work on my communication skills? Do I need to work on my forgiveness skills? Do I need to work on allowing partners to have space? Do I need to work on allowing partners to make me laugh? Do I need to work on allowing partners to make me happy? Do I need to work on being more sexually expressive? Do I need to work on not using sex to solve all the problems that I have in a relationship? Do I need to learn how to incorporate them into my personal life? Do I need to learn how to find partners that allow me to have privacy and allow me to have my own life and not receive that as rejection? What are the skills that you need so that this type of relationship that you want becomes more real and becomes more possible? I've said so many times before, a lot of times we can be our own biggest ops, our own biggest opponents when it comes to getting the love and life relationships that we want. And it's not because of past trauma, it's not because of things that have happened to us per se, but it's just because there is a skill gap. And sometimes we learn these things while we are in partnerships with people by having someone be in a mirror and seeing what are the different fights or conflicts or compromises that are coming up that we need to work through. Sometimes you can go into a relationship or go into different partnerships thinking that other people are the problem, thinking that other people are the ones that need to pivot. But once you get into a relationship, especially one that is healthy, especially one that fulfills you, you realize, these are actually some areas that I can also grow. And so if you are either currently in that type of relationship now or by way of writing these things out, you get some insight of like, if this is the type of relationship I'm actually going to get in. And sometimes we can use other examples of other relationships or other ideas of relationships that have felt good for us. What is it that would need to change, or what is it that would need to be different? And I know that there's a lot of flack that's given to looking to celebrity partnerships or things that we see on TV, but I'm going to give us permission here, especially if we don't have a lot of models of healthy love, connection, partnership, best friendship within a relationship, that if you need to look at TV shows or movies that when you watch it, your heart resonates, you just feel grounded, you feel secure, go ahead and use that. I may have talked about this like years ago. I don't think I've talked about this recently, but I've shared how growing up, The Cosby Show was one of those shows for me. It showed an incredible balance of people who were best friends, who were also partners, that were still romantic and they were still professional and they were still clear and they were warm, but they were firm with their family. And I was like, this is the type of love and partnership and family that I would want for the future. And it really helped guide me into where I was going and also knowing that what I wanted was possible. And it has worked out. So we have written out taking inventory of where it is that we have been before. We are looking at where is it that we want to go. So past inventory and future inventory. The next thing that you are going to write out is, what are you afraid of? So 1B was about, what are the skills that I need to bring in? What are the things that I need to learn in order to make this relationship possible, right? Is a more practical, tangible thing that you can pull from. Like, you can pull a list of 10 next steps you're going to take. You know, I'm going to find someone that can teach me this. I'm going to get a program that can teach me this. I'm going to find a coach that can teach me this. And you can, I'm going to Google these terms and see what comes up. This next one, number two, about what you're afraid of is, okay, if I get this type of love, if I get this type of relationship, what is it that I'm afraid is going to happen? Am I afraid they're going to leave me? Am I afraid that I'm going to be too much? Am I going to be afraid that we may start off really hot and heavy, then leave? Am I afraid they're going to cheat on me? Am I afraid they're going to move away? Am I afraid they are going to die? Am I afraid I'm going to die? What are the limiting beliefs and what are the limiting thoughts that are getting in the way of you resting in this? So we can and we will sabotage things that are for our ultimate good if we do not feel emotionally ready for it. If we are afraid that if we get this one thing we've been praying for, it is going to take away from us, that there's going to be like the monkey paw issue. For those of you who don't know that phrase, it's the idea of if you make a wish that the wish will come true, but you have to lose something on the other side of it as well. Do we secretly believe that? And so we need to write that stuff out to be clear about, what is it that if I actually got my wish come true, that I am and deeply terrified that this is what I will have to give up, lose, or that I will call in to balance out all the goodness that I'm having? Do I believe that actually good things can happen to me freely? And to write that out. Now, this is where I'm going to suggest one of my programs to help with this, because again, for those of you who don't know, I am a therapist by trade. I transitioned into coaching, into programming, because I found that when I gave women practical tools that would make something that's so subjective and so kind of abstract in a lot of ways, this healing process, but when I gave them clear next steps to do, that they will take it and run with it, especially in the privacy of your own home in a way that you can continue to refer back to it. That's the energy and the heart behind all the programs that I have to help you make real and to break the cycles of things that we are talking about here to get the life and love and relationships that you want. So I'm going to suggest our BGH method program, which is my main program that breaks down taking inventory, not only the relationships that you have, but also moving into the relationships that you want. And one of the things that I talk about in this program is this emotional regulation tool called EFT or tapping, which I've talked about before. You may have heard from other healers or teachers that you follow, maybe from your own clinicians and therapists that you have worked with. And I really love tapping because it really helps you clear out the things that have been keeping you stuck. It is a mobile tool that you can use. It is one that helps. I think it's one of the closest layman's outside of the therapy office options that is closest to EMDR. It is not EMDR, but it's something that you can use in your everyday life to reduce your anxiety, to clear out negative beliefs, and to replace them. So within the program, I talk more not only about the skill, but specific thoughts, specific limiting negative beliefs that come to people that stop them from making these breakthroughs. We talk about our core negative beliefs. We talk about where they come from and our trauma pattern, because a lot of us may know, okay, I have a fear of rejection. I have a fear of abandonment. I have a fear of failure. I have a fear of success. I have a fear of getting everything that I want. And that's a general term. You may know that you may have it from family backgrounds or family traumas or things that happen with you and your siblings, but actually being able to pinpoint it and put words to it can be very hard. And so we talk about that there, and then also how to clear that out. So once you write out what you're afraid of, once you know what the boogeyman is, you're able to move through it. And if you have trouble figuring out what that is, a lot of us, journaling and writing things down is not new to us, but we only get to some point and we're like writing, we're like, this, I'm writing this out, but I don't feel better. They said I would feel better. They said I would have some clarity. They said that I would be able to break this cycle. And I just feel more stuck. And now I'm upset that I wasted this time. Now I'm all emotionally riled up and I don't know what to do. And so that's why I have tools like that in the program and a method in the program that if you get that kind of stuckness, that the initial tools and ground setting for that and this woven throughout the program will help you with that. So you can check out the BGH method by going to blackgirlsheal.org/method. Again, everything is 50% off, including that program with the code SUMMER50. And you can get some resources there. You can get support there and you have lifetime access to have that program and everything else that it teaches in breaking the cycle. So everything that I'm going to talk about today, everything that I've talked about in all my episodes, the tools needed for you to work through that are always in my main program. The main program right now is the BGH method. Before, it used to be the recovery school. BGH method is the reduced 90-day program to help you break this down into 12 tasks every week for you to work through it, and they each build on top of each other. Okay. After you write down what you are afraid of and hopefully get some clarity around that, you can start doing a self-letter to yourself as you're writing out what you're afraid of, you know, talking in a way that's comforting and compassionate to yourself, in a way that you might talk to a best friend. So if you had a best friend who was saying those types of fears, what would you say to him, her, or them? And write that out, write out that letter to yourself and see how you feel on the other side of that. And once you get to a place where you feel calm there, or you use the tools that are within the program to help you feel calm, now you will feel some relief. And actually, if you are listening to this right now, you might have, and me just talking about these things, you might be feeling a lot of activation. And activation is what is meant to be like energy. So your chest might be beating heavily. Your jaw might be clenched. You might have some tightness in your stomach. You might all of a sudden be tapping your foot and not know why. You might be disassociating from listening to this podcast. Maybe you were super excited about listening to this episode, but as I'm getting more into it, you don't even know why. You didn't even notice why, but you started to get distracted all of a sudden when you were really set on focusing. That's because your body is feeling a lot and it needs to feel like it's safe. So I want to encourage you to take a break, take a moment right now, even as we're listening to this. The break of the moment might look like pausing, but it might just also look like let's slowing down a little bit. It might just look like you taking a break right now, taking a breath right now. And when I'm editing these episodes, usually I take out the big pauses. There's an automatic edit that I use. So hopefully I catch this one and I allow there to be spaces here. But if not, I want to encourage you to pause the recording as needed. But go ahead and see if you can notice your feet planted on the ground wherever you are. Whether or not you're driving, can you feel where your bottom feels on your car seat? Can you feel your feet on the pedal? If you are seated somewhere, can you feel your bottom on the chair, on the floor, on the bed? Can you feel your feet planted on the ground? If you're doing errands, if you're washing dishes or doing something, can you feel the dishes in your hand? Can you feel the wetness? Can you feel the warmth or the coolness of the temperature of the water? And go ahead and take some breaths. Take a deep breath and inhale. 2, 3, and exhale. 2, 3, inhale again. 2, 3, and exhale. 2, 3. I want you to know wherever you are, however you're deciding to use these assignments right now, your past does not dictate where your future is going to go. No matter how many stories you may have about what you should have done or what you should have said or where you should have been, no matter who you feel like you should have told off or set boundaries with, who you feel like you should have broken up with sooner, who you feel you should have given another chance, the fact that you feel like you should have moved away from the house or maybe you should have stayed. No matter what has happened, that does not define you. All of those are lessons that you got to learn. And all of those, none of those also define what is available for you. Those things no longer exist. The only thing that exists is now, the present, you in this moment, you in the beauty that you have learned to embody, the strength that you have called in, the strength you're going to continue to call in, and that you are the one that's in charge of your story. You're the one that's in charge of the next steps you get to take. And so we are, only reason we are writing this out, and in almost all of my programs, I teach for us to start with this clearing, this cleansing, this detoxing, this uprooting of all the weeds that have been planted before, is because they have a weird way of coming in and like being behind us and trying to tell us, well, this is impossible, or don't trust it, or you can't feel safe. No matter how encouraged, no matter how motivated we are, they will come and try to bias us to give up or to flail or to flake on ourselves. And so we need to expose what those voices are so that when it happens, we can be like, wait, I know what this is. This isn't about me. This is about what happened when I was 16 years old with that nappy-headed boy that didn't text me back. Right? This is what happened when I saw what happened between my mom and my daddy 5 years ago, 15 years ago, 50 years ago, and I'm internalizing their story. And we can put things in their place because they actually don't have anything to do with us. But when we're not clear on that, we can make it have everything to do with us. And again, we talk about more of that in the program as well, when we talk about our trauma work and things that we carry that we need to give back. So knowing that we get to be in charge of the life that we want, doing as many breaths as we need to get grounded in this moment and to remember that none of those things define us, we're just writing it down for information. We are literally just doing recon work. This has nothing to do with what's going to come forward. We are looking at the evidence of the past to make sure that it doesn't come into the future. That's all it is. And we can allow it to be a neutral experience. Once we do that, we're going to look at the positive. We're going to shift in what brings us delight. And so the next question, number 3, is what delights you about love? What delights you about the possibility of having this type of love? What makes you feel all ooey gooey on the inside? What makes you feel super happy and super excited? What makes you feel in awe and wowed about what can happen for this experience? And noticing what comes up in your body, noticing what it feels like to feel these feelings, again, going back to if there's anything that comes up that makes you afraid, so you're feeling all these happy thoughts and then a what if thing comes in, you're just going to add that to question number two that talks about what you're afraid of. Again, it's just information, it's not real, and we're just writing it out. Number four, we're going to revisit list number two, which is about what we're afraid of, only because we're going to see, was there anything in this list that was actually real? Because remember, we're doing recon work. Were there any fears that we had about what could happen, what might have happened, that was actually based in a fact of something that actually could happen? Are there any things that are within that list that are real threats, real issues, real patterns for you to deal with? We're going to mark those so that we know, okay, these are things that we're going to target. These are things we're going to find solutions for. And if we can't find solutions for it, then we'll talk about what it looks like to radically accept them in a way that it doesn't impact us going forward. We're going to use our recon list for our good because things get to work out for us. Number five, similar to that, we're looking back at number three. What is real from the delights? For some of us, maybe we haven't fully gotten to experience the things that delight us about love, but have we had similar experiences? Have we had glimpses of it? Let's say, for example, just to go outside of romantic relationships, let's say we really would love to have a best friend that we do all the things together. She's our road dog. We hang out all the time. Maybe you're to the point that y'all share clothes, that y'all throw baby showers and parties for each other, that y'all go on travel trips. You don't get sick of each other. That's the type of friendship that you want. And you haven't had that before, or you haven't had that yet. A delight that you can take in that's not exactly that. Have you ever had any experience with another person that night, that afternoon, that morning, that get together, you just laughed. You laughed and had a great time. It was someone that you would have loved to build a friendship with, or someone that for that moment, like let's say it was a stranger at an airport that you really connected with. Before that moment of time, you felt something kismet and it felt good. How did that feel for you? And to focus on those feelings and know that those are the types of things that can continue to exist for you because it's already happened before. The thing about healing and making this the summer of changing the trajectory of our life is that we need to know not only does the power already exist within us, but we need to know that healing at some point gets to be easier than it was before. I've talked before about how I've written out my own therapeutic model when it comes to helping women heal from the symptoms of love addiction and focus on self-love, like with actual clinical tasks and everything else. And hopefully in the future, I'm able to publish that for any other clinicians, coaches, healers who would like to use this information in their work. And the earlier stages of working through this process are the hardest ones. Coming to a place of understanding of what the problem is, realizing that it's not just one person, it's multiple people, realizing that it's not other people, that is you, realizing that it's things that you thought were your process before, now you got to work through it again or work through it in a deeper place. All that is yucky, messy stuff. Relationships that you thought you was that would stay forever, now they need to shift. You got to shift your relationship with yourself. You have to change your inner dialogue, all that stuff gets heavy. But the further you go in this process, it gets lighter. The texture changes. That doesn't mean that you don't reach roadblocks and that you don't have inner blocks that you experience. It doesn't mean that you never have anything to talk to your therapist about and there isn't anything that ever brings you to tears. But you have so much capital. You have so much baggage in a good way. You have so much weight and heft of strength, of empowerment, of self-belief, of resilience, but not resilience by way of I just barely survived it. But resilience that starts to look more like I'm thriving now and I have more insight on myself and insight on love and openness. So now when you have these lessons, they get you feel the abundance sooner and you see not only the lesson, but the gift in it all. And it doesn't feel like a consolation prize. It actually feels like the blessing that it's supposed to be. And so I'm saying all that to say, I'm toggling back and forth from fears and negativity and doubts to delights and joy, because this is where it gets to be and this gets to be your normal. And we get to normalize that. We don't need to go into the healing process expecting it to be woe and glum all the time. We get to have power from this. Okay, so with that said, now let's talk about the practical things that you can do with the fear list and the practical things that you can do with the delight and happy list. So for the practical things to do with the fear list. So this is number six. There are going to be seven things in total. I think Yeah, I think there's going to be 7 in total. We'll see. We'll see if I add a bonus. But number 6, the practical things to do with the fearless, when the things that you find that are actually real. The first option is to work on healing it. So is there a actual trauma or wound that is behind that fear that is still causing you to feel the same feelings, thoughts, anxiety that happened before, even though it's no longer here? That is a form of PTSD, if not actual PTSD. And so that is something that we can talk to our therapist, talk to our clinicians about, to process the feelings and thoughts that go into it. Sometimes we can look at somatic therapy behind it too, and healing what our body is doing. And y'all know I'm a proponent for somatic body work therapy for sure, or for this issue specifically. I think having some form of talk therapy and talking, processing about it is really great, because we're looking at the stories that we tell ourselves. We're looking at the stories that we're telling ourselves about love, the stories we're telling ourselves about connection, about togetherness, about bonding with someone. We heal it in our nervous system, but do we now know how to connect with other people? Do we know what new story that we have now about what it means to connect? Or do we just know that I don't feel this anymore, but now I don't know what to do? What is the story that I want to have about what it means to be in relationship and be in partnership with someone? So we can look at healing that. We look at replacing those stories within the program as well, by the way, in the BJH method. So that is an option for you to check out when it comes to looking at these next steps. The next thing that we can do when it comes to working with things on our fear list is, after we heal it, or if we don't feel like we need to heal it, like it's healed, but we just don't know what to do, we get very practical and we find skills that will help us do the other side of what that fear is telling us to do. So if the fear is telling us to shut down and to not communicate, we look into and we find skills to help us communicate with other people. If we are those who are like, okay, I know all the skills, I keep buying the books, I'm listening to a podcast, I'm writing in my journal, but every time it comes time to communicate with someone, I don't do it. And I might even feel justified in not communicating. And then 5 years later, I'm like, was that a relationship I should have communicated with? And depending on where you are, depending on what your star sign is, depending on what it is you believe, some of you may feel completely justified in not communicating to that person what happened and how you felt like they deserve it. They deserved it, or they knew better. Some people are replaying that situation and ruminating on it. And then of course there's everybody in between. But I think when it comes to those of us who can have that graveyard of relationships, there is some worth in us looking at, okay, if the common denominator is that I keep having to start over with communicating what's going on with people, even though I feel very justified and clear on it, are there other alternatives? Or is there another way that I can approach conflict and communications with people different than what I'm doing now, and to be curious about it? And if so, maybe talk to a mutual third party to help you explore that, to see if maybe there's some gap areas you didn't know that you had. And then the last thing that you can do for something on your fear list is to radically accept it. What that means is, let's say whatever you have on your list is something that is real, something that is a real thing that can or might happen, or that it did happen before. And, you know, you maybe heal through it, maybe you've learned skills around it, but there's still like some kind of nagging or tugging at you, maybe even some resentment that you've had to heal this and work on it. What you need to do is to radically accept it. That's exactly what it sounds like. You need to move to a place of radical transformation, even otherworldly, to be like, okay, I don't like that this has happened, but this is what it actually is. And I'm not going to halfway accept that this is what the reality is. I'm going to radically accept it, so that when I think about it, it's now neutral. I'm not going to go to a place where I'm 70% through or 80% through to the other side, to where when I think about this issue, when I think about this roadblock, I'm angry about it. I have a little twinge of being upset. I'm sad about it. No, I'm going to radically accept it, so that when I'm encountered by it, when I encounter it, I know that it has nothing to do with me, that I still get to win on the other side of it, that these may be things that have happened in the past, but in the end, it all works out for me. Can I move to that place of radical acceptance? Okay. And for our last step, number 7, we're going to look at practical things to do for a happy list. So all the things that were on your delight list, the things that delight you about love, that bring you joy, that when you think about either the real love that you currently have right now in your friendships, in your relationships with your family, or when you think about the love that can potentially come in or what might happen when your relationship is transformed, you can look at, you can do the following. And then I have another resource to support you with that last example that I said. If you're in a relationship that is being transformed or needs to be transformed, like if you're a love addict and a love avoidant. So the first thing that you can do is the things that bring you joy that are going to bring you joy are to focus on multiplying them this summer. Look for more experiences of that. Seek those relationships more. Seek those experiences more. Seek those places in your purse and your heart and your memory. If you're going to ruminate on something that brings you life and makes you feel happy and empowered and brings you joy and brings you closer to the people around you. The next thing that you're going to do is tell yourself that you're worthy of these good experiences. Again, a lot of times we can sabotage ourselves by expecting the worst or getting in our own way or going towards what's familiar. And so in this aspect, a lot of mirror work around telling yourself that you deserve this, that it gets to be this good for yourself, when you get to call more in is great for you. So I promise you, for those of you who are in a place where maybe you're an addict and they're a love avoidant, or you're a love avoidant and they're love addicts. And so you constantly are in this push-pull cycle with someone. And you need to know, can it work between a love addict and a love avoidant? I actually did a 3-hour workshop on this a couple of years ago. And we got all the way into it, what it takes for these relationships to work. The answer is yes, they can work. Because what we're looking at are attachment styles of people who are coming together. But what's common is the love that they have for each other. So we talked about what does it look like for one or both sides to do the work, interrupting the cycles. What does it look like when it is working and people are actually doing the work to move closer together instead of apart? And what does it look like when it's not going that way? And then there's a Q&A at the end. So that workshop is available. That is also one of the things that is on 50% off. When I say everything is on sale for this summer, that is one of them. So you can find that by going to blackgirlsheal.org/courses. That's going to have my full course library, all the programs that are available, the details of enrollment for all of them, the slash prices for everything. And you can go ahead and get access to that. And again, we have lifetime access to it. And I hope that you find that helpful as well. So that's it for now, y'all. Thank you for joining me. I hope that this episode is one that you can use and listen and replay. There was a lot here, y'all. If y'all write out all the stuff that's here and do all this, it's going to provide so much value and so much transformation. Would love for y'all to tell me how it has helped you. You know, you can send an email. Sarah, my assistant, will collect all those and I will get them at the end so I can actually take it all in and respond and everything. But I would love to hear how that works for you. But for those of you who are either already on the list or those of you who are going to join our list by downloading the summer list freebie with notes for today's episode. Every week, I'm going to highlight one of the resources that I have that can support you in your journey and also give you a lesson and tool very similar to today's episode to help you take whatever it is that you're working on a little bit deeper. And of course, if you want to get the resource to help you take it further, you can do that as well. So that is it, y'all. I'm sending you all so much love. I'm so proud of you and all the work that you have done for yourself. And I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. As always, take care of yourselves and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Black Girls Heal. If this episode helped you in any way, please be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and share it with someone you love. And if you're ready to go deeper and turn what you're learning about here into real life change, join us inside the BGH Members Club. You'll get ad-free bonus episodes, powerful worksheets about every topic we discuss here, and exclusive lessons to help you apply the healing tools we talk about. You can join today at blackgirlsheal.org/members. And as always, take care of yourselves, and we'll see you next week.